I was surprised how fancy it was up there, so colorful with all those dancing lights coming in through the dome, and that wonderful smell of beeswax from the shining wood floor. It made me realize how run down and dirty our poor city is. I think I was in a strange state of mind by then, with every sensation heightened. I kept thinking of Mom and how all this had happened to her, too. I felt I was in a dream, following in her footsteps. It sounds crazy, but that made me feel quite calm, almost as if she was walking by my side. I remember a big silver A on the door and how I couldn't stop looking at it. And then walking through the door and knowing I had crossed over from being alive to being very nearly dead. The Astro room was surprisingly small. The Astro technician who was waiting for me seemed to take up most of the space. He was kind of blank, with dark glasses, a shaved head, smooth, raw skin like it had been scrubbed with sandpaper, and soft, pink hands like a mole. I felt overwhelmed by tiny details. I was desperately drinking in everything to do with being alive. I looked at the orange circle painted on the floor with some of the paint rubbed off the middle, and I wondered how many people it had taken to do that. And then, the long glass door with fingerprints on it. I thought if I were the Astrotech, I would have cleaned it. I saw the launch ledge stuck out like a diving board. It looked a bit flimsy, and that bothered me. The light was dim, just dull daylight filtering in, and I wondered how the Astrotech could see anything with his glasses. But maybe that was the point. Maybe he didn't want to. But most of all, what I remember is the silence. Soft, slow, gentle, like a dream. My guards guided me onto the orange circle on the floor and turned me so I was facing the long glass door and the diving board. I heard the zip of a tape measure, and I knew the tech was measuring me. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw him sliding open a panel, and I caught a glimpse of Astros hanging up like a row of fat orange slugs. And then he brought it out, my orange coffin. The suit was made of much stiffer stuff than I'd expected. It was reinforced with fine steel threads and stood up on its own. It was headless with a metal ring holding the neck open. It looked like the spacewalk suits from way back, but much plainer and with no life support pack. Of course. They put the helmet on the ground, and I saw to my relief that it was the new kind, with a tiny slit of a window. I wanted to see as much of this world as possible for every last second I'm in it. The Astrotech slid open the back of the suit with a heat knife. Then my guards took my elbows and lifted me in feet first. My feet touched the soles of the boots, and I felt a cuff snap around each ankle. That was a bad moment. I hadn't figured on that happening, and it made me feel more trapped than I'd expected. They guided my arms into the blind end sleeves, and the same thing happened with my hands. Cuffs snapped tight around my wrists so I couldn't pull my arms back. I took a deep breath to stop the panic rising and focused on the helmet that sat waiting on the floor, its dead eye staring back at me. A guard ran a glue gun down the back of the suit to seal it, and I smelled hot plastic and metal. Nothing felt real by then. After Mom got Astro'd, I made a point of finding out exactly what would have happened to her. But the trouble with knowing the Astro protocol is that you can't get it out of your mind. So every night I'd have nightmares about it. First it was about Mom, but later I dreamed it was happening to me. I'd wake up fighting to get out of the suit and discover my sheets knotted around me. I think that's why I was so dazed. I felt as though I was still dreaming. And then I heard a woman's voice right in the middle of the room. "Proceed," it said, and the Astrotech jumped to attention and picked up the helmet. I forced myself to stay calm and took a deep breath in, knowing it would be my very last of fresh air.